Welcome back. I'm Redbeard in the studio with Adam Clayton and The Edge for U2's Achtung Baby, the Album Network's Album of the Year for 1992. One aspect of U2's music that's very integral to the feeling and attitude of the band are Bono's lyrics. Here's Adam Clayton.
Well, I always think what's, like, amazing about Bono's words is you kind of know that they're so personal to him, and yet you know that they connect with a lot of people. I mean, they reflect the band's kind of feelings as well as his, and then that seems to connect you with the whole audience out there.
He has a very hard gig as well, because most of the time, I would say 90% of the time, Bono is actually trying to work lyrics into a piece of music that already has a strong identity and a strong feeling. So it's not even like he can sit down and, you know, write some words that he wants to write today and then we write music to it. He has loads of that. Coming into this album, he had big bunches of pads of words and prose and ideas and notions, but most of that just never worked in the context of the music that we were coming up with. So he was in a position where he kind of had to go with the music, and that's hard. That's really hard.
One of the pieces of music that inspired Bono to write one of his more revealing set of lyrics was Trying to Throw Your Arms Around the World. Here's The Edge.
As a song, Trying to Throw Your Arms Around the World is probably very, very revealing of Bono and some of the things that he struggles with. And what's cool about it is it's all wrapped up in this kind of light-hearted, throwaway song. And I like that. You know, if you're going to make a heavy statement, make it in a light-hearted way. Make it in a way that's not obvious. And that's what we tried to do on this record, is if you're gonna lay something heavy into the song, don't do it like in a heavy, dramatic way. Just slip it in there. And I think Arms Around the World is probably, although it's probably the lightest, most joyful song, it's also kind of the most telling in some ways. 6 o'clock in the morning.
Trying to Throw Your Arms Around the World. That's U2 from Achtung Baby. Once U2 completed the recording and mixing of the album, all eyes focused on the upcoming tour. The first leg of Zoo TV Tour consisted mostly of one-night stops at indoor arenas, where the tickets disappeared in a matter of minutes. After having made a record which stretched the band's creative vision as far as it had ever gone before, the next step was to apply that vision to the new live stage show. Here's Adam Clayton of U2.
When we sort of kind of committed to doing the indoor tour, we felt that we didn't want to do it like we'd done it before with a clean production and just the band on stage. And we sort of looked at it as a space where there was like 20,000 people, and what could we do to change that space and change the expectation of those people? Because, you know, people go to these buildings on a regular basis. They know the stage is down there and there's a band on it, and they sit in their seat and they buy their popcorn. And we said, well, we want to make it into a multimedia event and just try and, you know, create something completely different that people will kind of get a buzz off, get a hit off it.
Now, it's interesting because you pointed out how important environment was, at least to the band, when it came time to write and record Achtung Baby. So is that something maybe you came away from the sessions wanting to also change the environment of hockey arenas and basketball, ice,
yeah.
You know?
I mean, shows are so predictable now, and we wanted to do something different, something unpredictable. It's great fun in a way for us because people have such a strong idea about what we're about that this tour gave us the opportunity to, in a way, undermine and play with that perception.
I've heard several different perceptions of some of the elements of the show, and
that's all part of it. Though we're not uncomfortable with people seeing it in different ways, of being slightly misunderstood. I think that's okay, you know. I'm not scared about everyone not getting it. The good news is that most people do. Most people catch the irony and see how we're parodying ourselves and parodying rock and roll. But, you know, ultimately, what people carry away from the concert is their own personal thing, and I don't really worry too much about that. But some of the misunderstandings are kind of funny, I think.
One of the highlights from the Zoo TV tour was the song Until the End of the World.
That was the first song that was actually finished and mixed on the album. And again, that was like a difficult thing to settle on. You know, there was a lot of experimentation involved. But once we kind of had that one in the can, it was like, well, you know, that's the standard for the rest of the tracks, and we got to get them all up to that.
This was a case of a song that had been around as a piece of music for a while, and I'd been struggling. I knew there was something in this guitar idea, but I'd been struggling to complete the music, to try and push it in a direction and get it to work. And I came up with a couple of new suggestions, and I sent them off to Bono, who was in Lanzarote working on words. And he was playing around with some words, and he had this other piece which he'd started to write, this conversation between Jesus and Judas. And it was like the two things just seemed to lock. And Until the End of the World then just took on a whole new dimension as well.
It's a fascinating song called Until the End of the World from U2's Achtung Baby. Adam Clayton of U2 reacts to the fact that Achtung Baby was the most played album of the year 1992 on North American rock radio.
I'd have to say that the state of radio here is a lot healthier than I thought. Because it's a record that I didn't think, or any of us thought, would go well at radio. We thought radio would have a problem, particularly when you think of The Fly being the first single out. But I think the fact that radio has stuck with us and supported this record shows that there is still progressive radio happening in America. It's great.
I'm Redbeard. We'll be back in the studio after this.